This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning we're going to be saluting Middle Tennessee State University, and the first segment of the program we have Dr. Raphael Bundage with us from MTSU, and he's going to be talking with us about the Governor's School for the Arts. Raphael, come on in, have a seat, make yourself at home. We got a whole room full of folks in here this morning. And what's happening at MTSU? Dr. Bundage, it is good to have you with us on this beautiful day.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Tell us a little about the School for the Arts, the Governor's School for the Arts. I know this is a tradition at MTSU. How many years has this gone on?
Well, the first Governor's School for the Arts was in 1984. Was started as an incentive. Then Governor Lamar Alexander had heard of governor schools in other states and got with our dean of students for governor school. Her name is Miss Linda Hawkersmith, and they wrote Linda Hawkersmith wrote a grant to the state for the inception of the Governor's School at MTSU. The first year, the Governor's School was limited to symphonic music. We had a wonderful orchestra of about 50 to 60 students. The next year, it expanded to include theater and art. And now we also include ballet and filmmaking, and we have 248 students at the Governor's School. Students compete for a position in the Governor's School from all over the state. There we have about close to 1,400 applicants for the Governor's School, and we accept about 248 in those various areas.
So it's really an honor to be a part of the Governor's School.
It's an honor for the students and the teachers both, yes.
And each year, you said we're up to 1,400 entries now.
Yes.
I'm sure that grows quite a bit each year.
Yes, yes. It's a wonderful state-sponsored program, the students are enriched artistically, and our community is blessed to have that here at Murfreesboro. Now, there are other governor schools at various universities during the summer, and the governor school runs for 4 to 5 weeks, depending on the school. There are about 11 to 12 other governor schools around the state, but the Governor's School for the Arts is the largest and the oldest.
Now, is this open to all ages, or who's eligible?
Yes, it's open to students who will be going into the 10th or 11th grade.
And what does this do for them? Let's say they complete this. Do they have a chance to come back a second time, or is it a one-time?
Well, no. We have them here for, they can do it once, and they receive 3 units of college credit for this.
Wow.
The governor insists on that, and they will receive that, and they can use that in any university they would like to go into. A lot of the students will become dance instructors later on in their lives. They'll become music teachers, performers. We've got, since the area of music is what I deal with the most, I know that some of our former Governor's School students are now singing, for instance, in Europe. They're singing at the Metropolitan Opera in New York City. And we get many testimonies of the life changing experience of having been a member of the Governor's School for the Arts.
So it makes, even though they are very talented, obviously, to even get involved in this, it gives them a heads up. They stand above any other competitors as they go through life.
Yes, yes. And the arts, as you know, it's a very competitive field, and this certainly gives them that advantage. So we're it's remarkable to see these young students and what they do. During the Governor's School, there are a series of concerts and presentations, art exhibits, and any time we invite the Murfreesboro community and the community at large to come over, they can give us a call at 898-2223 and set up a time to come over and visit with us. Also, it's of course on the web. Our information is out there at gsfta.com. We are looking now toward the finale events. We started in on June 4th, and we'll conclude here on the 28th of June with an all-day event, including ballet presentations, theater presentation, two music concerts, and the art gallery at the MTSU Todd Library will be open for anyone to come and see the beautiful artworks that these students, sculptures and paintings that the students have worked on all semester. So we're getting close to the we're just past the midway point, and these last 2 weeks will be kind of the wrap up. Yes.
So these students really get a chance to feel college life for almost a month.
Yes, yes, it's great. Our hair raising, depending on how you look at it. They are young folks. We take good care of them, and they're very disciplined, as most young artists have to be. Most of these folks, say the pianist or the artist, they are self motivated. They are used to a strict discipline in their area, so they are just wonderful young people, and they do get a slice of college life. They're away from home, many of them, for the first time, and you know, they get used to it for the while, and their parents get used to them being away for a while. Yes.
Now, I know that you have made the music department at MTSU, especially the choral department, really phenomenal. And I would guess that this gives you an opportunity to see some talent that you could say, you really need to come to MTSU and make our department even stronger.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yes, we keep it equitable, and we make a real concerted effort during the school not to recruit them to necessarily to our own schools, as it works for me and the other university professors that we invite from other area colleges. But certainly, at the end, there's wonderful. We get acquainted with them, and that is a wonderful way for them to see what we do offer here at MTSU. Not only in the instructions, but in our wonderful facilities at MTSU, the wonderful dance studios, the wonderful music facilities, the newly refurbished Tucker Theater, for instance. So, and our art gallery there at MTSU, there is an advantage for them to see us firsthand. Not that they all will come here, but many do find their way back to MTSU eventually. Yes.
Now, your department has expanded a little bit. You've been able to expand into some new areas. You've mentioned just a moment ago the renovations at Tucker Theater.
Yes.
There's some exciting things happening in the arts at MTSU.
Oh, yes, yes. And this is the time of the year that we're planning for the next season, both in our area. The Band of Blue is kicking up kicking up dust here. They'll start, I think, the third week of August with their band camp. In music that I'm working with, we're excited about a performance of Frank Lesser's Guys and Dolls that we'll do here in September. And we'll begin rehearsing that in the second week of August. We asked those students in that musical production to come back a little bit early, and so that we can do that. We like to do the musicals early in the year before everything else, so that we have plenty of time, rather, to get in the halls and get it rehearsed. Yes.
And, of course, the public is encouraged to attend and see these great productions.
Oh, yes, yes. We're looking forward to that, yes. And I must speak just briefly about our choral society that's also getting ready for their exciting season. They're going to present Mendelssohn's Elijah this year, as well as Messiah, the annual Messiah performances there. So there are a lot of very, very exciting things going on at the university artistically, yes.
Now, we've talked a little about you encouraging the public to come and be a part in the audience. You also reach out and embrace the talent in the community and get them to be a part of some of your choral programs as well.
Yes. Folks out there who sing or would like to be a part of our groups there at MTSU can give us a call. They should look in the next few weeks at the newspapers to see when they can come and audition or interview to be a part of that. And it all begins to happen now. In the next few weeks, it's going to be very, very busy for us.
So make it a point to watch closely and be ready to become an even greater part of the activities at Middle Tennessee State University. Well, it sounds like some exciting things happening, especially in the area of arts at MTSU. We've been talking about the Governor's School of the Arts that continues for practically the rest of this month at MTSU. Dr. Raphael Bundage, our guest this morning. Any final thoughts you'd like to share before this segment ends?
No, I just say what a privilege it is to work with these young students, and how fortunate we are at MTSU to host the Governor's School for the Arts. We are very excited about the program.
Dr. Raphael Bundage, our guest on this segment. Stay with us. We're going to continue our conference about MTSU. We're going to talk about Pa Fiddles. And if you're trying to figure out what is Pa Fiddles, stay with us. You're going to find out in just a moment.
But I will go down with fishing, and I won't put my hands up and surrender. There will be no white flag above my door. I'm in love, and always will be.
We're loud, we're proud, we're blue. WGNS AM and FM, your home for the Middle Tennessee Blue Raiders.
Buy a new Ford Escape at Ford of Murfreesboro and get up to $3,500 off MSRP or 0% financing for up to 60 months. The Ford Escape won't have you shying away from the gas station. The SUV gets up to 33 miles per gallon on the highway. Need more miles per gallon? Try the Ford Focus Electric and you'll never need a drop of gas or an oil change again. See the Ford Focus Electric and the Escape at Ford of Murfreesboro at the intersection of Broad and Northfield or online at fordofmurfreesboro.com.
Hello, I'm Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers. If you already own a Tag Heuer watch, let our in-house professional watch technician replace your battery and pressure test it. It only takes one day, and it's at half the price of our competition, who have to send the watch off for 4 weeks.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton. Have you had your jewelry professionally cleaned and checked lately? Stop in today for your free checkup.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad across from Toots.
Play it again, sports!
Your baseball and softball headquarters.
Whether it's bats, gloves, pants, or training aids, we've got a great selection to get you on the diamond this summer. Name brands like Easton, Louisville, Slugger, and Worth. But at Play It Again Sports prices, we're on Thompson Lane.
Good morning once again. Good deal of congestion still on I-24 as folks make their way into the downtown Nashville area. We had an accident earlier around the Briley Parkway exit, but that is in the clearing stages. Should be out of the way in the next few minutes. Also, lots of congestion still in Rutherford County, I-24 Medical Center Parkway, I-24 at 96, I-24 at 231. The Nashville Flea Market, yes, they're still at the fairgrounds in Nashville, and it's this weekend. Open Friday 8 till 5, Saturday 7 till 6, and Sunday 7 till 4. Take I-65 and get off at the Wedgewood exit. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
This is FM 100.5, FM 101.9, AM 1450, and TV 11. Talk radio, WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station.
This job takes a lot of him. There's not much left for him to give, but I need more. He ought to know that by now. He's gotta read my mind to know what I'm feeling after all this time. It's just too hard to hold on to what is never around.
Welcome in, and the next segment we're going to be talking about the making of Pa's Fiddle. Dr. Dale Cockrell is with us. He is the director of MTSU's Center for Popular Music. Claire Bratton, a professor at MTSU in the Electronic Media Communications Department, and Tom Neff, also with us from that same department. Tom is with us via the telephone, but they all three are here with us today. Tom, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, and happy summer, and we're pleased to be here.
Good to have you with us. Dale and Claire, good to have you both with us.
Glad to be here.
Very glad to be here.
Tell us a little about what Pa's Fiddle is. You're having the making of Pa's Fiddle. What is that?
Well, this is a project that started in Christiana, just down the street from us. I have a son who's now 22, and when he was 8 or 9, we started reading the Little House books by Laura Ingalls Wilder. And I'm a musicologist, and I was astonished at the amount of music that was embedded in those books. Well, to make a very long story short, that led eventually to the establishment of a record label called Pa's Fiddle Recordings. We brought out some three CDs from that, and also there's an academic project that came out of that. I was giving a presentation at a conference in Minnesota called Larapalooza, dedicated to Laura Ingalls Wilder, and on the Pa's Fiddle project. And afterwards, a distinguished gentleman came up to me and identified himself as Dean Butler, who had played Almanzo, Laura's husband, on the Little House on the Prairie TV show. And Dean now is a video producer out in Los Angeles, and Dean said, "Dale, this would make a great Pledge Drive special concert." And I said, "Sure, great, let's do it. How?" And it took several months, but eventually in November of 2010, Dean went to New York, talked to PBS, and PBS bought the program within 3 days, actually. So over the last year and a half, we've been working toward this Pledge Drive special concert, which has been on PBS for the last 10 days or so, being broadcast on NPT, among other things.
And was all born in Christiana.
It was all born in Christiana, down Church Street here from you. Just roll on down the hill.
That's exciting. Tom, tell us a little about your involvement.
Well, I teach with Dr. Bratton. We teach a different aspect of film and video production. And I teach intro video and so forth, and have done many documentaries in my lifetime. And Dale came to me at one point and said that this project of Pa's Fiddle was happening with PBS, and what about the idea of creating a making of, kind of a documentary on the production, run and done by students? And so we thought that was a very good idea, and that's what we started to do. So essentially Claire and I put the team together, and I did the production side of it with a group of terrific kids, and Claire did the post-production side. And it was directed by a student named Sam Willey, and line produced by Megan Brantley and Haley Ellis, and fantastic, editing by Lauren Levins and Clay Tipton. So it has ended up being about a 25, 26-minute film, and we're just very proud of it. And it is now going to be bundled with the pledge drive package of the show itself.
Now, let's talk a little with Dr. Claire Bratton. And what? How did you come up with the name Paw's Fiddle?
Well, actually, Dale came up with that name.
Actually, Laura Ingalls Wilder came up with it.
Right. So it's reflecting just the project, the CD project that Dale produced, which is centered around the music that Laura Ingalls Wilder's father played. Her father, Paw, was a fiddler. And so this reflects that music in the concert. And so our documentary is called The Making of Paw's Fiddle. So it's really a behind-the-scenes, you know, watching, interviewing the artists as they were preparing to go on stage. Like, why were they involved in the project? What kind of feeling did they have about the music they were singing? And then telling the story a little bit of, you know, how Dale came up with the idea, and also about Laura Ingalls Wilder's own, you know, background with her family and how integral that was to her history, the music of that time.
Now, this area is so rich in music history. I mean, we have Uncle Dave Macon. We're just on the doorsteps of Uncle Dave Macon days. We have the Appalachian style dancing, the clogging, things of that sort. Is that what this is all about, preserving the history of that era of music?
I think Dale's the one to answer that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I like to point out that Pa Ingalls, who's a real figure, I mean, this is not a fictional character, is the old-time fiddler about whom we know most from the 19th century. We know his life. We know the music he played. His fiddle is still in a museum in Missouri. So in a real way, this area's reverence for old-time music comes directly from what Pa Ingalls taught us about how music mattered to communities and how music mattered to families.
And with this, the music continues to tell the story.
Yeah.
Of how it was then. It's interesting, this type of music, you hear this, and I guess this weekend, with the International Folk Fest that was here in town, you hear music from other countries, especially European countries, and you can see the tie how that music sound came from Europe.
Yeah, it's not that it connects across space, it also connects across time. As we were recording the CDs, our motto in the recording studio was always the old made new, because although this music may be old, it still lives today through performance and what people do with it today. So even the PBS show is about, Randy Travis singing Sweet By and By, and Randy Travis obviously loving that and an audience loving that too. So there's a song from 1868 that still lives today.
And as he sang that, did he reflect after the recording how it felt? Claire, how about that?
Well, yes. I mean, he said that he had a real feeling for gospel songs in particular. I think he's got a very deep faith, so that meant a lot. And then Rodney Aiken said, I love singing this song, The Girl I Left
Behind Me.
Thank you. It was relating to how guys in the war, I guess Civil War, you know, they were reflecting on their sweethearts, and it certainly has resonance with the young men and women who go off to war today. So, I mean, these songs are meaningful even now.
Yeah.
Was it recorded at MTSU?
The show was recorded at the Loveless Barn outside of Nashville.
Okay.
So, no, we brought all the tape and the recording back here, and then Claire's genius and their genius students took it and went from there. So.
And I have to give a shout-out again to Tom for putting together a team of, I mean, these were sort of beginning students, and when I walked in, I thought, whoa, they look very professional.
It was incredible. It was just incredible.
Tom, tell us a little about that, because this was really giving, hands-on experience to students.
Very much so, and the students really stepped up. These were students who really were relative beginners. I had taught most of them in another class, but felt that they could handle it, and as Claire said, many of the professionals who were on the set actually shooting the shows just were surprised that they were students. they just assumed it was another professional group. And I think once people see the final product, it has a very professional, polished look. And I think that's what we try to do at MTSU. We try to give a practical experience on top of work that they would do in the classroom, rather than just editing or shooting things as exercises. Try to find a real project, something that is in the real world for the kids to really sink their teeth into. It was a production that really started in January and did not finish until April. So it was quite an extensive project.
How clearly marked is Middle Tennessee State University on this product? I mean, we're in 175 different markets. Are they getting the feel of what's happening at MTSU?
Well, I would hope so. Certainly the show, the documentary begins with MTSU Presents, and their branding is very prominent in the final credits. So I think it's going to be quite clear that that MTSU was heavily involved. And, Andrew Altman and his group has very much supported this. Dean Roy Moore, President McPhee, and Billy Pittard, who is the chair, were all 100% behind this project and would like to do more of this type of thing.
You know, in looking at MTSU's mass communications department, I don't think people realize how well known this is. I think you're probably referred to as either the first or the second best program of its type in the entire nation.
It is very well thought of, and I think that our reputation will grow as we continue to do these kinds of projects. I did hear that there was some talk about the fact that MTSU got a mention even on the LA stations.
Yeah, the script that went out to all the PBS stations for the pledge drive part of it mentioned that part of the premium package that goes out was produced by students at Middle Tennessee State University. So all of those 300 PBS stations that have picked this up at some point are waving the flag of MTSU in front of their audience.
Now, will local audience still have an opportunity to see this, or has it already aired?
It was on yesterday. It has been on NPT several times this week. Call in and request. NPT, the way these things work is if they make the phones ring, they're called successful. And so the more people request the show, and especially pledge, of course, the more successful the show is. So all you have to do is call NPT and say, I've missed it. I'd really like to see it again sometime.
And so if that doesn't work, you can always make a donation, I guess, and get
right.
The video.
That's correct.
The DVD. Mm-hmm. So would you get exactly what was on TV? Is that what you're getting?
Actually, you get much more than was on TV. An enhanced package of the show. You can get a CD of the music. You can get a CD primer that comes from the Positville recordings. And you also get the documentary. So the full package includes quite a bit more than you see.
Tom, I believe you sounded like you had something to say.
Well, I was going to say we're also working to make an arrangement with the local PBS to air the making of documentary once the show on the pledge drive effort has ended. So I think there'll be that this is an evergreen documentary and that it's always relevant and I think. Part of it was to show that it's important to look at the history of the past in order to understand the music of the present. And I think many of the kids today would get a real kick out of hearing the music and seeing where some of their roots come from.
Well, I think even more important than that, too, is showing that students, if you're in high school right now and want to get into the field of mass communications, any area of that, there is a real opportunity, a phenomenal opportunity by being a student at MTSU.
Yeah, the program should seal the deal. I mean, if a prospective student sees this documentary and is interested in mass comm, where else would they go?
Absolutely. Dr. Dale Cockrell, the director of MTSU's Center for Popular Music, Dr. Tom Neff, and Dr. Claire Bratton with us from MTSU's Electronic Media and Communications Department. Just about a minute left. Any final comments from any of you?
Buy the CD. The music's fabulous. I play fiddle, and it inspires me.
The new CD just opened at number 14 on the Bluegrass chart, so keep buying. Push it on.
Absolutely. And go MTSU. Thanks again, all of you. Stay with us. We will continue the conversation with a focus on Middle Tennessee State University. You won't believe what we're going to be covering next. Stay with us.
I don't understand. I like my daylight to be silver. I like my night skies to be blue. Say I'm just unwinding. What you're looking for, babe, I know it isn't what you're
finding. GNS Talk Radio, FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450 and TV 11. The Good Neighbor Network is on WGNS Murfreesboro.
Maybe you need a new mattress. Well, you can look all you want, but you won't find anyone even close to the prices of mattresses at Bell Furniture. And these are Jamison mattresses. Listen, Perry Bell has the Jamison Marriott mattress, the one used in the hotel. If you check around, the queen size set is $12.99, but at Bell Furniture, just $7.99. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
Weather Eye.
Bright sunshine makes its way in for the day today, so with a southerly breeze, we have a high up towards 90. For tonight, just a clear to partly cloudy sky settles back in with a low near 68. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jim Marusak.
Right now, it's 75 degrees.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro, and we have hot, delicious Otis Spunkmeyer cookies every day. Come and see us, First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, and home of Otis Spunkmeyer hot, delicious cookies.
Down home cooking right downtown in Murfreesboro at Jeff Sowell's Family Restaurant and Nana's Desserts on Hancock Street. Open daily from 11 to 6 and Sundays 11 to 5. Jeff's has 18 vegetables daily, 14 meats, including real hickory smoked barbecue.
Plus, all you can eat catfish every Tuesday.
Jeff Sowell's Family Restaurant and Nana's Desserts at 467 Hancock Street,
where MTSU students and seniors get a 10% discount.
The Good Neighbor Network is on FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11, and WGNSradio.com. WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
Don't you make me wait here and walk the shore alone.
Welcome back. Today we're focusing on Middle Tennessee State University. And our final segment this morning, we're going to be talking about gas-saving wheel hub motors. Dr. Charles Perry is with us, and saving and things of that sort, that already has my attention. Dr. Perry, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us today.
Thank you.
Now, what is this gas-saving wheel hub motor, and how does MTSU fit into this?
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me here. We are very excited about a project that we have had at MTSU for about the last 5 years. About that time ago, 5 years ago, my oldest daughter came to me, and realizing that I'd worked in IBM for many years, and my job there was in innovation, mechanical and electrical technology and engineering, had quite a few patents there, and she said, "Daddy, why don't you do something to help people like me, soccer moms with minivans running all over the town to save us gas?" So that got me thinking and started trying to develop a way to turn any car, or most cars, into a plug-in hybrid. Cars that are already on the road, that we don't have to wait till the major automotive manufacturers come up with various versions, as they are, but there are not many of them out there. So if we had a way to convert any car to a plug-in hybrid. So we started working on that, came up with a number of ideas, some of them we rejected, and finally settled into a way to add plug-in hybrid capability by converting the rear wheels to wheel hub motors. Now, if you look at the rear wheel of practically any car, between the inner diameter of the rim that the tire sits on and the brake structure, there's some space. You could think of it as a matter in your mind, say, like a donut of space there. Turns out there's enough space in most cars to package a DC brushless motor. Now, the reason I say DC brushless, and I don't expect everyone out there to know what I'm talking about, you'll remember years ago that a one-horsepower motor, induction motor, you could hardly pick up. It'd be a pretty good-sized motor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in these days, DC brushless motors use these permanent magnets, neodymium magnets, rare earth magnets that are very strong. And also by using going brushless, by instead of, just the way that the motor turns on and off by using sensors, you can get a lot more power per unit volume. And today, a one-horsepower motor, say for an RC helicopter, is not much bigger than two or three golf balls. It's amazing how dense these motors are and how much power they put out. So we chose the DC brushless technology to put in these wheels.
And so it's working. You're putting it on the back wheel, both back wheels.
That's right, both back wheels, and it works whether it's a front-wheel drive car or it's a rear-wheel drive car. Now, there are others out there who have the same idea of converting any car to a plug-in hybrid, and one of the ways they do it is to come through the lug nuts externally. They put an attachment on the lug nuts on the outside of the wheel, then they put the motor, like a little pancake motor, outside the wheel. Actually, we did that. That was our first idea. And we drove around Murfreesboro in our little 94 Honda, and people would walk up and say, "What in the world is this?" But we just didn't consider that elegant enough. We wanted a method that was transparent, that you didn't even know was there visually or operationally. That's when we went with converting the rear wheels to motors. And that's the hard part about doing this whole thing. Other people interrupt the drive shaft, put an electric drive between the and then you have to have a rear-wheel drive car.
Well, now, I guess the big thing with the hybrids or with any electric, portion of the engine is how long will this take you? Will it take you a mile, 2 miles?
Okay, that's a very good question. It depends more than anything else on how big a battery you want to carry around. Now, we all know that cars like the Tesla and Fisker and many others that are coming to the market now have huge arrays of batteries.
The whole bottom
of the car. And a car has to be designed around the necessity to create the volume space necessary to package all these batteries. What we want to do is go for the market where a well-known statistic in this country that 80% of us on any given day drive 40 miles or less at 45 miles an hour or less on any given day. Now, there's days we'll go to Nashville or we'll go to Memphis or we'll go to Knoxville or somewhere else. But on any given day, 80% of us in this country drive 40 miles or less at 45 miles an hour or less. In other words, we stay local.
Mm-hmm.
We drive to and from work. We go to the grocery store. We take the kids to soccer. That's the target market for this technology.
And will it handle that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have already determined that on two different designs at MTSU with this technology. We can put enough capacity on a battery that's about the size of a carry-on bag for a commercial airline. You know, these bags that they can have to put over in the overhead bin. Everybody sort of has in their mind how big that is. That's about the size of the battery pack necessary to go 30 to 40 miles. Now, it depends on how you drive. There's a lot of variability and how you drive these cars. So what we will also do with the ultimate commercial product is we will put an accelerometer, which is very common these days. Cell phones have them. Everybody has accelerometers that monitor how fast you take off and how fast you stop. And what will happen is, on the final product, if you take off too fast, a little red light will come on and saying you're wasting gas and you're wasting electricity. And also, since it has regenerative braking, you don't want to stop too fast. You want to maximize the efficiency of the system by stopping in a way that gets back as much energy back to the battery pack as you can.
So when you say regenerative braking, when you put the brakes on, it recharges
yes,
the battery?
Yes, just like the Prius and any hybrid car, it has regenerative braking built in. When you touch the brake light, what we do is pick up the signal that goes to the rear brake lights, 12-volt signal that turns your brake lights on when you push. That's the signal that triggers regenerative braking in this system.
Now, I guess the big thing is you said this was inspired by your daughter, who's a soccer mom, who drives a minivan. We're not talking about a teeny tiny car.
No.
Does it do okay on that?
Well, we have done enough work to determine that this will work on most cars, like minivans and sedans, and small trucks. When you get up to very large trucks, you know, 20,000, 30,000 pounds, the problem is the motors have to be so big. I mean, an average car weighs 3,000 to 4,000 pounds. Well, the motors we can package in the rear wheels will handle, have enough power and torque to make a difference in a car that weighs 3,000 or 4,000 pounds. We are looking at a couple different designs for trucks, but they're smaller trucks, you know, like delivery vans, post office delivery vans, various companies, UPS, FedEx, those kinds of vans that run around town, not vans that go between cities. Again, we have to have enough power in the battery pack to supply that energy for 30, 40 miles. Of course, a delivery van has to go further than that, but they have a little more space to put a battery to.
Well, you know, you've just solved the problem that America's facing right now. I've always thought lately it's the hybrid. Hybrid is the answer because total electric doesn't seem to quite be here yet. But you have made every car an electric hybrid.
Potentially. We're at the state now. We have built a prototype that works, that we've driven around campus, around town. We have determined that when we're running along at a certain speed and we turn on the electric traction motors in the rear wheels, we virtually double the mileage of the car. Say we're getting 15 miles per gallon under these conditions, it goes to 30. We're getting 20 miles per gallon, it goes to 40. Again, it depends on how you drive. The potential is there for an automobile to get anywhere from 50 to 100% better mileage when the plug-in hybrid is installed.
Now, should I be sitting down for this question? How much does it cost to make that conversion?
Okay. Now, there are some contingencies here, all right? When we started this those 5 years ago, we recognized that the most expensive component in this whole installation will be the battery. Battery technology is accelerating now and development at an amazing rate. There are two companies now in this country and some others overseas that are developing more efficient, less costly lithium-ion batteries. You have to talk about energy density. In other words, how much energy can you store in a given volume, say a cubic foot? How much energy can I store in a cubic foot? Well, hardly anything beats gasoline. There's so much energy, and that's why we all drive gas cars. And battery technology is nowhere near that. Battery technology is maybe one hundredth as much energy that you can store in a battery, a cubic foot of battery, as you can store in a cubic foot of a liquid fuel like diesel or gasoline. However, it's getting better every day. So here's the caveat. There are two different companies in the United States who are claiming that they have a lithium-ion technology that costs half as much as what we have today and gives three times the range. Now, they've got enough people convinced that they're getting millions of dollars from the government and also the automotive industries.
But it's not there yet.
It's not. They're scaling up for manufacturing. It's new technology. Remember what we're trying to do here. We're trying to bring in a new paradigm. We're doing a paradigm shift. We're going, and what we see is the plug-in hybrid technology we have developed as a transition technology. 10, 20 years from now, we're going to have, you know, a completely new way to power our cars. Whether it's all battery, there are also technologies where they're looking at ways of transmitting the electrical energy from the road you're sitting on into your car as you literally drive over it. And that's not that hard to do. Now, the infrastructure is expensive. We've got to build new roads.
And they can charge you for that.
And then they'll charge us. That's right. Then they'll charge us for electricity. But right now, if indeed the battery companies are successful in the next year or two, the cost target for putting on this on your car out the door is $3,000 to $5,000. If battery technology does not change and we have to pay the prices we have today, it's $5,000. If in the next year or two they work all these problems out, they go commercial and they scale up, then it will be $3,000. $3,000 out the door on your car.
Now, if somebody came to you right now and said, I want to get one of these, could you do it for five?
No, 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 no. Cannot do it for five, because these devices, when I say $3,000 to $5,000, I'm talking full-scale manufacturing volumes. We're making thousands of these things. You have the tooling, everything, the infrastructure, your supply chain, all the engineering is done. That's, we're talking in volume $3,000 to $5,000. Well, not today. The first prototype we built, including all the labor and the materials and the time involved, cost $50,000.
Let's squeeze in a phone call. You have gotten the listeners all excited this morning.
All
You're
right.
on WGNS. How are you this morning?
Yeah. All this money that was spent developing this battery system, these cars, was that a government grant, or is that some money y'all spent yourself?
What about that? Was that government that you've in your developing of this project?
Well, the funding came from the state of Tennessee, actually. About 3 years ago, we made a proposal to the Tennessee Technology Development Center. So tax dollars paid for the development of this first prototype. And as I said, that was a $50,000 grant from the state of Tennessee.
And when do you think, or do you think, the, obviously, some company, obviously, entrepreneur, has to say, I like that idea, I'm going to mass produce it. Are you close to that?
Well, we think we are. There is a term called the Valley of Death in technology transfer. It comes from, you've got the technology up to the point that it's proven, there's a prototype involved, but we don't have a major customer yet, and we don't have manufacturing capacity. That is where we are right now. We are negotiating, when I cannot go into any detail about this, we have an industrial partner that believes enough in this technology, they have partnered with us. This is a major international company that builds these kinds of motors. They have the engineering expertise. They are now with us. We are going together, our industrial partner with MTSU, to various companies to say, will you fund the first prototype? The first prototype to scale up, I mean, all the tooling and the design engineering, is going to be about $500,000. So we have to find, we started with $50,000. Now we're going to have $500,000, build the first prototype so we can get it out there in large number, test the reliability, the performance, verify this in an actual operating conditions. Then the investors will come out of the woodwork wanting to give us money.
Will the auto manufacturers, people like Nissan,
yes,
will they be for this or against it?
Well, it's hard to say. We've talked to Nissan about this, not in any great detail. They have been very supportive in all the programs we have at MTSU and our engineering technology department. They sit on our advisory boards. We will have to address that with them. This technology could be offered as an option on a new car. You could go, when you buy your new car, the salesman say, well, do you want the plug-in hybrid option, on or off? You know, and then maybe it's a $3,000 to $5,000 difference. Well, that is an option. If an automotive company, Nissan or other, wants to pick this up, we have four patents on this. Well, two have been issued and two more are pending. So the technology is patent protected.
So when we're hearing about things that are exciting happening at MTSU that impact our community, here's one that impacts the world. It impacts all of us. And visiting with us, Dr. Charles Perry, the chairholder of the Russell Chair of Manufacturing Excellence, obviously, certainly in that area. And we wish you the best of luck. When do you think we'll be able to say, I want that option?
I'm going to give you from a year to 2 years.
Okay. Well, we're ready to say it. And I think everybody else is. And again, it started at MTSU. You can't beat that. Dr. Perry, thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Stay with us. The morning continues right here on your good neighbor station. Have a great one. We'll see you tomorrow.
Just so, I don't want this feeling to go away.